All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. My name is Dan Hafner. I have another guest on, Tina Lopez. We're going to talk about some very interesting stuff. We've talked a lot about AI, a lot about technology in this world, or on the show that is. But I brought Tina on because she reached out to talk about some different things. She actually went from having an online coaching business to being an online content creator and kind of running her entire business on automation. She's big into using no code tools to accomplish those things. And if you are someone that's maybe in the solopreneur space, the entrepreneurial space, you run your own show, a little bit like someone like me, maybe like Tina, I think this will be a really useful show because we're gonna dive into how to use systems. Like, I think a lot of people tend to shy away from things like Zapier or, you know, automation systems. Like, you hear these buzzwords and you're like, I don't know, that kind of freaks me out. I don't really want to dive into that. At least that's what I've seen a lot of in my experience. And we're kind of here to say, like, hey, that doesn't have to be the boogeyman. It's all right. It's all good. I think this should be a really, really interesting show. So before I bring her in and introduce her again, let her introduce herself, please like, subscribe, share, and leave a rating or review for the show. That really, really helps. Please leave us 5 stars. Don't leave like a 1-star review. That's no fun for anyone. Come on. You know, we bring really good content here. You guys, come on, let's go. Anyway, that's my little plug for that. Tina, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same. I'm here in Pittsburgh and it's the beginning of April and it's snowing and it's cold.
We've had that too.
And I hate it. And I'm not a fan and I'll go on record saying that, but hey, you know what? It is what it is. Summer's coming soon. Okay. So weather aside, tell us kind of like, give us a high level view of your journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Okay. So we're going to go high level here. So
yes.
I have always been an entrepreneur since I was a baby. I always say this joke, I came out of the womb and I was like, I want to start a business. But after having many businesses actually in high school and college, they actually did very well. I actually turned into the business coaching space. And so I was serving life coaches at the time. And not a lot of people know this, but you know, I actually started having my first coaching business when I was in college, and that did really well financially. And long story short, like, it was great. Like, I love coaching. I have a very soft spot for coaching because it's almost like watching a baby grow up. I don't know how else to describe it, in the sense of like, you get to see someone, like a business owner, make their first like $10,000 and like thousands of dollars beyond. And just knowing that you were helping them is like just truly fulfilling, right? And so on the flip side, I think what people don't tell you about the coaching side is like, it's really great in terms of high touch, high value, but it's very intense in terms of like capacity energetically. And so like for me, I had, you know, coaching clients, I had sales calls, I had the content marketing, the email marketing, just everything. And, you know, I did hire a team to help me out, but then it ended up becoming like I was a manager and I didn't really like that. And so after getting really deep into burnout, I kind of took a 4-month sabbatical, closed the coaching business, and only finished my client contracts. But because I have an entrepreneurship like itch, like I feel like once when you're an entrepreneur, you can never just not do anything. And so I really have 2 missions in life. The first one is, how do I, you know, help people create generational wealth through business, because that's my strength. I love talking about business. And the second piece is, how do I teach those same people to have the time to enjoy that wealth, right? And so that's where I landed on content creation, because I'm like, okay, well, I can reach people at scale because the internet can just reach thousands of people on its own. But it also allows me to not have a fully booked out calendar. I'm someone who really likes to have a free calendar and just kind of do whatever the hell I want with my day. But there's this other element that I think is starting to be talked about more in the creative space of like just burnout. And I've seen it, I've felt it. And since I have an automation background, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do the way things where, you know, traditional gurus would tell you, write every day, do this, be consistent, all that unnecessary stuff, in my opinion. I'm like, okay, how can I create a system to run the business on autopilot, still make passive income, but also be able to take a full month off and actually just like make money? And like, I tested that last year. I took a whole month off in Asia. And, you know, if there's any words of wisdom, it's actually working less is when you make more. And I worked nothing in November of last year, and I made the most amount of money from that because of my automations.
Well, look at that. I mean, that's awesome. I got to say real quick, I'm always jealous of when I hear people that had like businesses, successful businesses in college. Cause I didn't even get into doing my own business till like I was damn near 30, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I'm way behind the eight ball on this. I never really like thought about that, but anyway, no, you bring up a really good, like an interesting thing because I think this is something a lot of people miss. Like, I mean, especially in this world of like running your own show or like doing a side hustle even, or mm-hmm. turning a side hustle into a 9-to-5. Like, I think a lot of people in your experience, do you see that a lot of people kind of put the cart in front of the horse when it comes to like, hey, I really want to have this cool idea and I want to scale it and it would be super cool. And I want to put this, you know, type of thing into existence and just go and create content and automate stuff? Or do they actually kind of like happen into that like you did? Like you were like, oh, I have like working too much, I'm burning out, I want to automate things. I'm just curious, like what's the trend that you see with people? Or do people put the cart in front of the horse?
So it depends on really how you like to do things. Personally, what I'm seeing, because I'm seeing this a lot actually with some of, because I sell courses, so I see this a lot with my students. And what's interesting is like when I see them like purchase one of my courses and implement it, a lot of the time they don't even know that they could even automate things. So there's that lack of education that they didn't even know that that was a possibility, right? Of being able to systematize their business and like really automate stuff so that they don't have to be the bottleneck, right? And so a lot of times I feel like it's my job to do the education, like, hey, it's possible, you can do it. But the second half is like, it's really like out of necessity, right? And so like sometimes, like I had a student just reach out to me like a couple of days ago, and she's an author. She writes young children books and things like that. And so, you know, she bought one of our automation workflows and she's like, Tina, like, I didn't even know that this was possible. And she was looking all over the internet to find something that I had created. And thankfully she found me on the internet, but like, she essentially said like, every person needs this in their business, because what her challenge was, and this is why I feel like no code is like should be talked about more, is because her challenge is like, I don't have enough cash flow to hire people to do it for me, but I also am way too burnt out to have the capacity to do it myself, right? And so this is where it's like, I need that middle ground. And that's where like my course came in and it helped her. And it was like, this is the middle ground where you can leverage AI and automation because it's cheap, right? It's cheap enough where you don't need to hire a VA, or like you don't need to hire people from a labor perspective, but it's also easy enough because it's no code where you could just set it up once. Like, I'm a big believer in like creating the upfront time to set it up so that it can buy me back 80% of my time later down the road. So like for her, like she was able to set it up and she's like, oh my God, like the fact that like she's like not spending $2,000 a month on labor and she's only spending like $80 in automations and like software and stuff like that, but it's getting her time back. That is a huge leverage play.
Yeah. And I will say, I love what you just said around, you know, I have the need for this thing, but I don't have the money for it. So that's where the no code stuff comes in. Mm-hmm. I got to say, as when you said no code needs to be talked more about, I kind of like shuddered a little bit. I was like, oh yes, that's great. This is the show for that. And as someone who does no code all the time, I love that. Now, when you say people can do it themselves, they can do whatever, as someone who gets paid for getting hired by people, I'm like, I don't know about that. But no, you're absolutely right, because that's how I started. Like, I started because I had an idea for an app that I wanted to build and I didn't have the money to build it, but I didn't also, like, I tried to learn to code for like 2 weeks and it was like the worst 2 weeks of my life. I was like, I beat my head against a wall. I was like, for those people who can do that, I used to work in a development shop. So I feel like I can make fun of developers a little bit because I know how they work. They're super weird a lot of times. At least the ones I worked with were. But that was just, if you can learn that stuff and you can do it, kudos to you, especially like you learn it young, or, you know, you go to school for it or whatever. Like I never did. So I went down this path and I found no code, and that like literally enabled me to launch my very first app, my first business, and got me down this path of like, oh, now I can build these things and freelance and build a studio and do all this different stuff with it. So it's amazing. Like the skills you can build and the things you can do quickly and cheaply and effectively it really almost comes down to your imagination, right? And now with the advent of AI, it literally your imagination is almost the only limiter, right?
Yeah, it's actually kind of crazy because sometimes one of the challenges that I had is because I have a content business, right? It's very different from like other traditional businesses, right? And so for me, the struggle that I had was like, I'm a big believer in investing in coaching. Like if I can shorten my time cycle to get to X, Y, Z, whatever, I would happily pay for it, right? But the problem that I had is like, it took me 3 years to build this automated business. And it's not until now I'm on the show where I'm like actually talking about it because I feel confident to teach and to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. But like in the beginning, like I just had this problem where it's like, I want to have an automated content business, but I don't want to pay for a team. I don't want to outsource every single thing and become a manager. And I tried, like I literally tried finding someone who was doing what I was doing and I couldn't find anyone. Like Google couldn't help me. And so I was like, well, crap, like I need to do it myself. And so that's where like no code came into play. And I was just like, this is like truly my imagination. Like, so for example, like the daily content generator, which is the automation that I sell, like I tried finding something where, you know, there's a lot of softwares where you can like, yes, you can automate your purposing with AI, but like I'm super lazy. And I think that's where no code helps a lot because like, I just don't want to sit down to even be on the software to click the buttons to spit out repurposed content. Like, I really just want an automation every day to do it for me. And that's where it was my imagination came into play, where I had to think about what would this look like? What tools, what tech stack do I need to integrate with Zapier in order to make it happen? And I honestly think that's the reason why it's sold so well is because I have not seen anything like that, because people are even lazy to schedule content because I'm lazy to schedule content.
I concur. Well, you know, what you just said, it's so, you could just keep saying these things that are just music to my ears. I love it because, you know, I see that path happen over and over again. Like, and that's what happened with me. But for my very first idea that I just talked about was like, I wanted something out there that did this one specific thing for a problem that I had. And I couldn't find anything that quite fit the bill. Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'll just do it myself. Right. And then that's the path I think a lot of people go down. But it goes back to what you said earlier, that these things, this whole no code industry, all these different things like you have, like they need to be marketed and talked about a lot more, because even though ChatGPT and others in other software and all kinds of different stuff, there's new stuff that comes out every second of every day, can do things that you and I still don't even like, can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, right? These things are so wildly advanced that there's only a very, 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 very small percentage of people who actually know how to use ChatGPT to its full potential, right?
Yeah.
So how do we now, as no code advocates, as people in this space, how do you communicate the value of, what's it you said, your daily content tool provider? Mm-hmm. How do you position that? Maybe tell us a little bit about that. Like, how do you sell that? How do you market that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think it comes down to selling the transformation, right? Honestly, it's like, people will buy the transformation. They don't personally care about how it gets done. Like, so for example, like, I can only say this because I'm renovating my house right now, but like, I don't care how you get it done. I just care that it gets done. Right. And so like when it came to the daily content generator, it's actually ironic. And I was talking to someone else about this, and I'll go on a little story tangent here, is I actually, for the daily content generator, that was running in my business for an entire year. I did not talk about it. I did not promote it. I didn't even want to build it. I'll be very honest. Like, I told all my friends, because I only told like a select people in my inner circle. And I was like, yeah, I have this. And they kept saying like, Tina, please, like, please, can you like share it? And it was an automation. And I said, no, I don't want to, because I was afraid that like people, like from a technology standpoint, like I'm very tech savvy, but to teach people tech savviness is kind of hard at times, right?
Oh yeah.
And so like, I just didn't want to deal with the headache. And I, for a year, I didn't do it, until one of my friends, she's like, Tina, like, I'm so burnt out. Like I can, it feels like I create content for Instagram and then a second later it's down a black hole and I spent hours creating that content, right? And I was just like, I can't relate. And I'm not trying to be mean, but like I truly just cannot relate to that because I don't spend my time there because my automations do it. And so then it got to a point where I was like, okay, Tina, like, what is your mission? Your mission, part of that mission is helping people have the time to enjoy their wealth, right? And so like if they're making a ton of money, like allow them the time to enjoy it, right? And so I was like, okay, you know what? It's not about me. Like I just need to create it. But I'm also from a business standpoint, I'm not going to create anything unless I get paid to create it. So I did a pre-sale. And so this pre-sale was truly, it was truly just a blurb. And I wrote to my email list and I said like, hey, I have this automation. This is what it can do for you. It's been able to post, turn one piece of content to five pieces of content, and it schedules and, you know, posts it to five major platforms, 365 days a year, daily. This is what I use. Literally, like it was maybe a couple sentences. And I was like, it's $9, by the way, too, because I made it $9 because I want, like, it's not about money for me. And I know that might seem like ridiculous, but it's just like, I don't want burnout, and your ability to heal burnout shouldn't be at a high cost, right? So I was like, just make a freaking $9 and like see what happens, right? My goal was 10 students because I was like, I was so nervous. I was like, I don't know if anyone's gonna buy it, right? And so 10 students, I sent the email on a Friday, took the day off for the weekends and stuff like that. Monday, got 10 sales. I was like, oh, I made $90. Like, cool, like that was like my little initial validation. This was like an internal goal, but I'm like, that's a joke. Like, come on, Tina, like you have this audience, so maybe that's why it works so well. Like, let's just shoot for 20. And I was like, okay. And a week later, 20 students happen. And I was like, oh fuck, okay, I guess people really want this. And then I always have like a 2-month period in terms of like pre-sale just to really validate it. By the end of that pre-sale, it was 40 students that purchased the $9 the daily content generator. And now as we're filming this podcast, like over 100 students have bought that course. And it's just like, it's just such a true testament of like, holy shit, like people actually want it because it solves a pain point. So when you're thinking of like, how do I market this? Like, it's not even about the tool. It's about the outcome that the tool's giving you. Like, it's saving that author who used a daily content generator like thousands of dollars in labor that she doesn't need to spend money on. But it's also saving her a ton of time where she can actually write more books instead of worrying about growing her social media accounts. And like, that is the transformation. People don't want to do more work. And I think that's what's wrong in the creator space. And people will tell you like, oh, you just need to be more consistent. Oh, you need to write every day, post content every day. Honestly, I think it's bullshit because it's like, if you are already at capacity, why are you telling me to do more? Like, no, truthfully, your goal should be doing less. And so this is why I'm such a big believer in no code, because it allows you to do less, but still accomplish more. And you don't need to worry about consistency because I automate consistency. And as you can see, I'm going on a high horse here, but I'm just really passionate about it.
That was amazing. That was so well articulated.
Thanks.
That was a really cool story. And it's awesome. As you were kind of explaining that, this formula kind of resurfaced in my brain of exactly what you talked about. Like, there's an actual need but the pain right there. I feel that too, when it comes, cause I don't have the daily content generator, which I'm probably going to buy after this, you know. It's like, I have zero. One, I suck at social media. So like, even when I post things, like, you know, I'll get a decent amount of feedback, but you know, it's something I abhor. Like, I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I've joined programs like that before that they were like, you got to do these posts and they have it all scheduled out. Like, talk about this and talk about that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do it. Like, I'll do it for like 1 day or 2 days, just like you said, because of that. You know, I think there's a thing, there's people like me too, that like, just don't like to brag, that don't like to highlight themselves, which I feel like in order to be in a content creation type of mode, you kind of have to be like that. You kind of have to get over yourself and just do it. And I've just never really been able to do that. So I was just like, screw it. I don't want to do that. But then there's also, like you said, there's that black hole. It's just like, you post something and it either like takes off and goes viral, or it goes absolutely nowhere. And then when it goes absolutely nowhere, that's such a crushing feeling, because that's what social media is. It's all dopamine. It's all like, the more likes I get, the more shares I get, the more comments, it just like feeds that dopamine. You know what I mean? So social media is its own wild game in and of itself. But no, the way you told that story was really, really amazing. And that was really cool, because just, and then I love the pre-sale, you know, of, hey, let's just see if people will buy this. Let's just see what happens. And it's not like you made life-changing money out of that, but it gave you motivation, gave you fuel, gave you funds to move forward and to probably improve it, market it, and resell it, and all kinds of different stuff, right?
Absolutely. Like, I think what it is like, it does a couple things, right? So it's also like a lead, like a way for me to pay for the leads, in the sense of like, people want to know what I'm about. And so like, you don't need to buy like my, you know, extra premium courses. Like, you could just buy this tiny little course and see if it works. Like, it's literally less than like two cups of coffee, right? And so like, if you get that much value, and so like, I'll go with the author example, right? Like, I gave her the course and she found it, and she literally just went straight to it. She was like, I'm just going to do it, whatever. And so when she gave me this video testimonial, like, that's exactly what I wanted. Like, her to be able to tell me like, it saves her time, money, all those things. But more importantly, like, it also establishes a great level of relationships, in the sense that like, she went on to buy on like my other premium courses, because she got so much value from like my $9 course that she's like, oh my God, like, you have this course on that, you have that course on that. And she's like, just let me buy all of it. And like, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't, to over deliver in value, it didn't cost a lot of money for me to over deliver in value. Now, to over deliver in value, it is a paid container, but it's only $9, right? And so like, it like I said, like from the beginning, it's not about money. Like, yeah, like, you know, over 100 students, like, $9 is $900, it's almost $1,000 to some. It's life-changing money. For me, I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool, right? But like, what it is, it's like, it's really truthfully about like healing like the burnout, because I've been so screwed over by coaches, by the content, those social media gurus, where they just kept saying that, like, you gotta push, and I'm like, you know what, like, screw that. Like, yeah. Why? Like, it's not necessary. And like, I think that's why I'm so confident to like 3 years later to be actually talking about this, because it's exhausting. And like, even like other students who've come to me who bought that course, and they're like, Tina, like, there's this one lady, she's like, I have three kids, I'm a mom, and I'm in a coaching program. This person's telling me to do this every day, but she's like, I have three kids, like, I don't have the capacity to like show up every day. And she's like, this is why I needed this, because it allows me to spend more time with my kids. And that's the goal, like, to give you more time back, because time is the one asset I always, whenever I do anything in my business, I always think to myself, what's going to give me the highest return on time? Technology allows me to give me the highest return on time, and I'm going to leverage it as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, 100%. That's really cool. Okay. So maybe going back to your roots a little bit, you know, other than, and you don't have to give up the secret sauce here if you don't want to, but you know, when you were getting started and you kind of dove down this, like, oh, I need to automate, I need to figure things out, I'm burning out, I've been screwed over, like, I need to figure these things out on my own. Like, what like tools specifically did you start to lean on? Like, what types of things, like, if someone's kind of listening to this, like, okay, you guys have been talking about some awesome stuff, but like, what, where do I actually go? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So my tech stack is actually, I love technology. I've actually been simplifying my tech stack recently, just to, you know, save on fixed costs and things like that. So here are the tools that made the cut. So the tools that made the cut are Zapier. Love Zapier. It is literally like, I always, and this is like for all the software people who are listening, like, if you're not integrated with Zapier, I will not buy your software. That's just truly like how I see it, because I don't want to spend the time to create it, right? And so, yeah, I love Zapier because it's literally like, it connects everything. It literally runs my entire business, right? And so that's one tool. The other one is Airtable. I love Airtable from a content management system, but also from like an automation standpoint. It works really well with Zapier, but it also does really great like internal automations from like a productivity standpoint. So like, for example, like, if I'm done writing something, then it will trigger like this other workflow that will add it to my calendar, and et cetera, right? There's that. And then another piece that's been really great, as we talked about AI, but maybe some people know this, not a lot of people do, but I actually love to use OpenAI. I don't use, there's ChatGPT and then there's OpenAI. OpenAI right. is the owner of ChatGPT, right? And I am someone who doesn't love paying monthly fixed costs a lot. So I didn't do ChatGPT. I was like, no, I'm not going to pay for that subscription. I'm just going to go directly to the owner, which is OpenAI, leverage Playground. And that's a pay per use model, right? So like if I, you know, if I'm running, doing API calls in terms of like leveraging the OpenAI and like integrating it with my Zapier workflows, then I only pay if I actually like send a prompt. And so that's where it's like, okay, this is significantly cheaper, but it's also more scalable in the sense of like the fact that OpenAI has an integration with Zapier. Like I remember, like I was slow to adopt the AI piece because, like I mentioned earlier, if it's not integrated with Zapier, I won't use it because that means I have to actually manually sit down and like prompt and like talk to it. And I don't want to do that either. So the fact that I saw that it was integrated with Zapier, I was like, oh, like this is game changer, because now what I can do is I can feed my content into AI and then get other pieces of content too. And so all it is just an integration. And then from that point on, like, you know, if I don't do as much API calls, then I'm good. If I do, then I pay more. But like even the cost of it, like I think I got a bill from OpenAI and like I didn't use it this much that this past month and it was only like 65 cents. And I was like, oh, okay, that's much better.
Yeah.
So those are the three that made the cut.
Well, that's better than what they're like $20 a month thing. Mm-hmm. so it's interesting. Very cool. So, you know, and that honestly, that was something, as you said, that looking back on it, on my own journey too, I think once I did find the tool we all know and love, maybe you don't know it, it's that we've mentioned several times here, Zapier. It really, like that, I feel like that really was like an aha moment, you know, mm-hmm. like it's, when you really start to play with all these different tools, like you said, like Airtable and OpenAI, and maybe you have something like a ClickFunnels or a Wix site or, mm-hmm. or whatever. And you start like, at least that's this is how I found out. I got down this path years ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got this thing over here and I got this subscription over here and this thing over here and this thing over here. And none of them talk to each other. Like I was like, well, how does, if somebody adds something over here, it doesn't do anything over here. And then there's mm-hmm. like, I have to like come in here and do this. And that was the burnout that I ended up experiencing, especially when mm-hmm. I had my first app, was like, okay, people are signing up for my app, but I want to put them over here in this MailChimp thing. And then I want to also like, they buy stuff over here and they're in Stripe, but then it doesn't talk to the, and I was driving myself nuts, just like, kind of like you said with the social media content stuff. And then once I discovered Zapier, I was like, holy shit, these all can talk to each other. And that saved, I don't even know how much time. I mean, that's literally one of the subscriptions in my, like you said, in my business that like, I can't, like, that's the stickiest software that's ever been created, because it's like, you can't cancel now. You just, you're like into their thing. I will say this for them though, as a really cool shout out to Zapier. They have upgraded like my account a couple of times now, like for free, which was like, I got an email the other day. They're like, hey, we upgraded you to this professional type of stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, awesome. I get more, I get unlimited stuff. I get whatever. Yeah. And I'm still only paying the same amount. So that's really neat. But yeah, I remember when that happened in my career, and I was like, holy crap, like this is a game changer, just like you said. And now, and then you start to find like new integrations and you see that little OpenAI integration, you're like, oh, awesome, you know?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love Zapier. Like, and you know what sucks is like, I wish they had an affiliate program, but they probably don't need it, to be honest. Like,
oh, I don't
they,
think so.
They don't need it for growth, but I'm like, the amount of times that I've like recommended people to Zapier, I'm like, I really should get paid for this. Like,
you should call them. I'd be like, hey, I talk about you guys all the time. Like, where's my commission check? Like, come
on. For real.
That's funny. I mean, in that, then speaking of that, like there's even ways that I know you can set up entire affiliate commission things using no code. Like I've done that before. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many cool things. I'm really glad that we could jam on the no code deal for as long, you know, for today. Cause I rarely meet someone who's who's as enthusiastic about it as you. So it's really, really cool. There was one other thing here. So, gosh, it slipped my mind. Do you have anything to add while maybe it'll come back to me here while you're talking?
Yeah. So I think there's this piece of like, when we think about automation, there's two layers of automation, right? We have the internal productivity, which we talked a lot about, Zapier, Airtable, all those things. But I think there's this other side of no code and automation of like the sales and marketing aspect, right? So like, you know, it's not just like, okay, like this tool is going to change my life. Like the tool will help you, but like you need the strategy in order to get the tool to help you, right? And so like, I talk a lot about this, but I think there's really like three phases of a business that you need to think about, of like traffic, nurturing, and then conversions, right? And so like, I kind of want to break down like the three to kind of like talk more to your audience about it. But when we think about traffic, like the first piece here, you know, a lot of people, we talked about content and how I use a daily content generator. The thing that I would say is that there's two elements. Like, you need to like ask yourself, like, why am I even doing this to begin with? Like from a social media perspective, right? Like, why am I posting? Like, what is the point? Am I doing it just because people are telling me to do it? Or am I doing it because there's actually a purpose behind it, right? And some people will say like, oh, like I'm doing it so like I can get sales. Where I'm like, okay, if your goal is to get sales, why are you making it harder for people to talk to you through content? Like, just talk directly to the person, right? If you want to make a sale. And so this is where like, I'm a strong believer that there's two main things you should focus on. Like, if your goal is to build a brand, post on social media. Like, I use the daily content generator truly just for branding purposes. But if your goal is to bring in leads and to actually like make money, then like grow your email list. Like, that should be the main traffic driver that really like you should focus on. Like, that's the only metric I focus on. I don't care about how many followers I have. I don't care about how many likes or comments, because they don't pay the bills, but my email subscribers will pay. Like, they will help me like buy my course later down the line. And so like, when we think about like automation, like a strategy that I can tell people is that like, if you want to grow in the quickest way possible, social media is actually probably not the place you should spend your time. Like, I think you should spend your time on collaborations. Like, for example, I'm doing a collaboration with you via podcast, or even like freebie swaps, bundles, all these different types of things. And the reason why I say this is because like, from a traffic standpoint, like there's this really big aspect of like, people love to pay for ads because it's very like, you know, it's pay to play. But like, when you think about ads, think about from the perspective of what you're doing. Like, you are just paying to access an audience, right? That's literally what ads are. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just do that for free? And that's where collaborations come into play, where like, I leverage the strategy of collaborations. But because I have an automation background, like every collaborations I do, like it takes me max an hour per month to do this. But I get 500, 700 subscribers per month over an hour's worth of work from an email subscriber place, because my automation background allows me to be able to fulfill those collaborations quickly, right? And so the way that I have this example is I do freebie swaps, right? And so freebie swaps, if you're not familiar with it, is like, say for example, Dan wants to promote like a freebie to my list, I promote a freebie to his list, that's the swap. But the benefit is that it's a win-win scenario, in the sense of you get access to a new audience, I get access to a new audience, and the audience gets something for free entirely, right? But the way that I set this up from like an automation perspective is like, well, if Dan wants to partner with me on a freebie swap, he needs to fill out an application, right? Because I need to make sure it's a good fit for my audience. And so he fills out this application via Airtable. I get the form and I either accept or deny Dan, right? And so like, if I accept Dan, great. I just literally click a button in Airtable or switch the status. And then I use Zapier to take Dan's contact information and put him in a follow-up sequence via MailerLite to confirm his swap confirmation, so that he can know the next steps to like confirm the freebie swap. And that's what no code allows me to do. Like, it allowed me to do collaboration quickly because I set up the automations to actually collaborate with him, right? And so that's the way I've been able to automate my traffic. And I will say, like, from a results perspective of freebie swaps alone, like, I am booked out all the way till August, but my reach is over 130,000 people without being on social media, without being on paid ads, truly it's just because I've collaborated with people. And so like, if you want to automate and you want to do all those things, like automation will help you with the traffic piece. But before we get to other things, like I want to pause here.
No, that's really good. And you triggered what I had been thinking about, and it was marketing, but you answered it way better than I was going to ask. So we won't even worry about that. But no, that what you just said was really, really interesting. Cause I was just thinking about the things I was literally doing this morning for some of the client work that I have. And that's the whole thing with no code is like, you don't have to learn to code, but you still, when it comes to this automation stuff and using things like Airtable, Zapier, that kind of stuff, you, the way you explained it, you think through it logically as a coder would, or as someone who's in that space would, just like you said. It's like, okay, here's what I want to accomplish. And then here's how I can basically be like, okay, here's a Jot form or an Airtable thing, and you fill it out. And then I get a Slack message when it comes in, and then boom, I click this one button, and then here it goes. And then it's like, and then what? And that's that question. It's like, okay, and then what? And then what I want to happen? Then what do I want to happen? And there's usually, like you said, there's usually a way with Zapier that you can kind of figure out how that works. So I love your thought process. You've clearly got some reps down in that. So yeah, that's how this world ends up going, right? Is you, what do I want to accomplish? How do I think through it strategically, but also logistically, right?
Yeah. And I think what no code allows you to accomplish, the logistics, right? Because like you can have the vision, but you actually need to have the operations and like the know-how and how to actually execute it and make it happen. And so like, let's just kind of go on with this example of freebie swaps, right? Freebie swaps, the intention behind it for me is to grow my email list. Dan gets to grow his email list as well. The audience member gets something for free. They get to some value from me, right? And so the idea is like, okay, that's already set and scheduled. When a person actually, let's just say this freebie swap goes live, someone from Dan's audience purchases or grabs something from my, like a freebie, for example, and now they're on my email list. Now I'm thinking about like the long-term journey of like, okay, the reason why I'm running people to my email list is because I, know when I do a lot of selling in my email, right? And so when I think about the nurture channels of the sales side piece, it's like, that comes down to email marketing, but it also comes down to like email automation. Like I only send out emails if I want to, but majority of the time, like there's a flow. There's an automation channel where it's like, I'm leveraging even dynamic behavior with MailerLite, for example, where it's like, if you are, you came from specific freebies or specific tags or whatever, then like, I will tailor and personalize the content for you so that I can actually provide value that's necessary and that's informative to you, right? Because like you being on my email list, it's very important to me, right? And so if I can customize that experience leveraging no code and these automation pieces, I'm going to do that, right? And so when we think about like the email, the back end, like a lot of it is, funnels in terms of like, okay, you got this email, maybe this course is going to be really well for you. Or maybe you say, hey, like I got this freebie, but maybe you filled out a survey and you said like, hey, I'm actually not interested in this. I really am interested more in this type of topics. Great. I won't promote the thing that's attached to the freebie for you. I'll promote this one instead because you told me that you want that instead, right? And so it's like, it's customizing that experience so that, it creates a personalized experience, but also like, I'm not gonna lie. Like I'm a small business. I make money through courses. So I get to promote what is most sensible for you.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, I can never seem to make it through an entire podcast without somebody delivering something to my door and the dog's going nuts. So this might be a good place to cut it. So, but it's very interesting because you seem like, obviously I think this has been almost like a free consulting session for a lot of listeners. Honestly, this has been really, really neat. But if we wanted to dive deeper, like, could you help someone with the automation in their business? Could you help consult them? Do you have courses that you can do? Like, where can we get more Tina?
Yeah. So we have our $9 daily content generator, which I will send to you for the show notes. But also, since we touched a little bit on email, like I would love to give your audience a free welcome email template. It's actually usually $9, but because it's from you and you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to give you a coupon code so that your audience could get it for free.
Nice. We appreciate that. That's really cool. So that's when somebody joins your list. Yeah. It would be that welcome email that they could send out. Very cool. Very cool. That would be useful. All right. Yeah, I'm really excited to learn more about the daily content generator. That's really, I mean, we already talked a lot about it, but like, I'd really like to take a look at it, see how all things are going with that, especially with like, I didn't even get to ask you about all this different TikTok stuff going on and all of this kind of stuff. Is that something that's scaring you?
I don't really go much on TikTok to really know
so
much
no.
about it.
Yeah, I gave up after a little while, so I'm not on there anymore. Like you said, it was just such a black hole of like, I don't want to be here at all, and I just was like, delete. I don't care. But I know people who have built their business on it. You know what I mean? So anyway, thank you so much, Tina, for joining the show. We really appreciate it. This was really, really I love the energy. I love the content that we had here. This was really fun. So I think you're really doing some cool stuff, and people should definitely check that out. We'll put those links in the show notes for you guys. And this was just really cool to just kind of talk with someone else who's, we could just nerd out a little bit on, you know, this type of automation stuff. I never imagined myself having these types of conversations, being like excited about it, but you know, here we are. So, anyways, thank you so much, Tina. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for this episode. We'll see you back in the next one. Until then, please like, rate, and review the show, and then check out Tina's links in the show notes. We'll see you guys next time.